in your heart and your mind and on your lips, and it will hang until the gospel is worthy and mouth upon the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. May the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we may know what is the hope that belongs to our call. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's in the very air we breathe, in the shows we watch, the literature we read, the philosophy that we've been blue-pilled into believing. It's gotten so bad. One time I saw on a stream conversation with an interviewer had with a woke person, you know, and the interviewer asked, if someone thought that 38 was an odd number, would they be wrong? And the person genuinely struggled to answer the question, because everyone has their truth. And, you know, that's just that, right? I can't question them, it's their truth. And so as you know, that's not even the worst that it gets, right? The philosophies of Nietzsche, Sartre, Marx, Feuerbach, other philosophers that with equally difficult to pronounce names that you've never heard of before, have influenced this culture and have influenced you without you even knowing about it. And look, I know I dropped a few names there, but you don't have to be tortured like I was in philosophy class. The main thing you need to know is that these philosophers are very influential in our modern culture. And you can recognize some of their ideas. Ideas that came from them, that there is no objective truth. The only meaning of life is what you make it. The will to power and control is the only morality that matters. To be rational is to believe only that which can be proved by the sciences. And who can forget God is dead? And there's a whole slew of other more subtle beliefs about the way we perceive reality and whether we can perceive reality at all that can easily sneak into a person's beliefs about the world. And so you can see how us believers, us Catholics here, engaging in the world, can be a lot like the prophet Amos. When we who believe try to live in, and least of which engage with, the philosophies that are so prevalent today. And you can hear it in our first reading so clearly. Amaziah, priest of Bethel, said to Amos, "Off with you, visionary, flee to the land of Judah. There earn your bread by prophesying, but never again prophesy in Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and a royal temple." It's not God's sanctuary, it's not God's temple, but the king's. In our world, we hear many saying, "My life doesn't belong to God. My life belongs to me, and me alone." And that is what we're up against. There is some good news. What is there for us to do? We who believe in objective truth, that God really did send his Son to die for us on the cross, for our sins. We who believe that God influenced the writers of Holy Scripture and gave us the Word through divine revelation. What do we do when many see no truth? When many look for meaning in their lives and see only the yawning abyss staring back at them? What are we to do? We speak the truth into the void. We who see the finger of God working in our own lives share with others the meaning life has when you're willing to believe in the existence of a truth beyond your own creation. And so, for that reason, we are prophets of the modern age. And this reading from Amos is so accurate. Oftentimes, people of this age won't listen to a priest just because he's a priest. They see me and Father PJ as people who have already drank the Kool-Aid and hopeless visionaries in this brave new world. And they tell me to flee back to the church where people might listen to me there. But you as the beloved people of God are in a unique position to sanctify the world and to bring light and truth into your home, your school, your work, the bar, bridge club, wherever. Because believe it or not, people who know you and respect you as one of their own will listen to you. And one more thing. Father Richard John of Newhouse, God rest his soul, the founder of First Things magazine, which you may have heard of, was a huge proponent of something called the Catholic moment. Basically, the Catholic moment is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for Catholics to speak into this void of meaning with our own philosophy rooted in moral truths that are compatible even with the ideas that our country was founded on. Catholics sort of own the ideas of truth and reason nowadays because we propose that truth has always existed and will always exist in God. The Logos, in other words, the Son of our Trinity, is pre-existent, and that the world was created in all of its mathematical, scientific, and physical beauty with the truth in mind. The truth doesn't change. And I know this might be a lot right now, but if we were just to be a little more mindful of where our ideas come from, we could do so much good for people who have lost the power of truth in their lives. So I encourage you to do your own research on these modern philosophies and to read up on the Christian responses to them. You can read all the way back from Thomas Aquinas. You can read C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, and others. Remember that all of you are in a unique position to be prophets in the modern world, even if it's in small ways. You don't have to preach from on top of your desk. And if even preaching in those small ways frightens you, that's okay. I get it. You see me sweat up here. But remember that the prophet Amos didn't exactly want his job either. And if people say, of course you would say that, you're a Christian, then take it out of Amos's playbook and say something like this: I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores, and the Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel.